Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And now to help us break it all down, we bring in Seth Joyner, former Eagle great. Seth Joyner's call, sponsored by Bet Parks. Every weekend, the double the spread boost for all users on one pro football game. Check the Bet Parks app Friday. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Seth joins us now. Seth, thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Hope you guys had a good holiday yesterday, man.
Yeah, you too, Seth. And obviously, a lot of football yesterday. Very interesting game between the Lions and the Bears. One of the things we've been talking about today, Eagles-Lions, how they stack up. Just overall, your thoughts on Detroit yesterday, and how do you think the Eagles stack up with the Lions?
Well, they look like similar football teams. It's amazing how much the NFL is evolving. You got even the Ravens coming up. You know, these two teams look more like running football teams, or three, I should say, than they do passing football teams. I didn't think I'd ever see that again in the National Football League. But everyone says that the run game is dead, that running backs are a dime a dozen, and all of a sudden, you know, you have this major shift. So I think, you know, it's going to be tough for the Eagles to overtake Detroit just because of scheduling. But, hey, you never know. They keep, you know, they keep tippy-toeing the way they did yesterday. The Bears certainly had a chance to get them, but you know, the Eagles can only, all they can do is take care of their own business and try to win out as many games as they can to get the best position possible.
Seth, you mentioned the running backs kind of making a bit of a comeback here in the year 2024. It feels like it's been a really long time, perhaps more than a decade, since we've had a running back matchup like we have on Sunday in Baltimore between Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. But it also feels like a game where, you know, maybe Jalen Hurts has to go to the passing game a little bit more than he has in prior weeks, just given that the likelihood that maybe they go down by a couple of scores is more likely. How big, you know, Devontae Smith limited in practice again yesterday. He did not play, obviously, in L.A. Are they going to miss Devontae Smith? It doesn't seem like they've missed him a ton up to this point. They've been just fine without him. Do they miss Devontae Smith maybe just a little bit more in a game like this?
Well, I think it's possible. Listen, the Ravens are ranked second in the NFL stopping the run. They're only giving up 77 yards per game. But they're the 31st ranked team versus the pass. That should give you some insight as to potentially what the Eagles may need to do. You know, not that, you know, they can't run the football, because they've proven that they can pound you in the submission and just, you know, break it wide open when they need to in the second half. But, you know, they haven't been in a situation defensively where, you know, they've had to do that either, because they've played so well on the defensive side of the ball. The games have always been, you know, kind of in reach until, you know, the offense could impose their will and get the game under control. But I think this is a game where they potentially could miss him. But it's like anything else. You get a guy that goes down, it's another opportunity for somebody else to step up, you know, and make some plays. And, you know, if they have to throw it, I'm confident that they can get it done. I'm confident that the offensive line can get it blocked up and they can make it happen. But it's just going to be a very, very interesting chess match on both sides of the ball, because these are two similar teams that do similar things extremely well defensively. They have similar strengths and weaknesses. And it's just going to be real interesting to watch the chess match and the game plan and see how these teams try to attack one another.
Seth Joyner joining us now. And Seth, I mean, the Baltimore Ravens offense, one of the best in the NFL this year, top ranked in a lot of categories. Lamar Jackson playing great, and Derrick Henry has been a difference maker for them. Going into this game, what do you think the key is for Vic Fangio and that defense to keep that Baltimore offense in check?
Well, the key is always going to be, first of all, to make them one-dimensional, you know, is to be able to get Derrick Henry under control. He, like Saquon, every time he touches the ball, there's a chance he could take it the distance. But the difference between he and Saquon's a lot more shiftier. He can make more guys miss. Derrick is a one-cut guy. And if they've got numbers on that side, you know, now he's second, third level, and, you know, he's tough to tackle. But they've got the commitment to being able to slow down the run game and make Lamar, you know, now try to contain him and keep him in the pocket and make him throw from the pocket and play from the pocket. Those are going to be the challenges. And in my opinion, that's the biggest key. Can you keep Lamar in the pocket when he has to throw it? And can you make him throw it from the pocket and complete it at a high percentage? And can you keep Derrick Henry under control the entire game? Because in a lot of ways, it's like the Eagles' offense. If he breaks out all of a sudden, it just throws the game into chaos. Because now you got to concentrate on getting him under control, like you got to concentrate on getting Saquon under control. And then they go play action pass, and the next thing you know, you got a guy running down the field, you know, wide open. So it's like I said, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous chess match, a game of wills, a game of wits. And it'll be interesting to watch and see what Vic Fangio is able to do and how Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni decide to change the game plan if need be.
Seth, Fangio obviously having to game plan against this Ravens offense, perhaps the toughest test this Eagles defense has had all season. Obviously going to have to do it without Brandon Graham, who had been aging like fine wine in year 15 of his NFL career. I'm sure you, as a former linebacker, have loved what you've seen out of Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean this season. Do you put them in more pass rushing situations? Do you rely more on Nolan Smith and you know, guys like you know, the guy who they just picked up, Charles Harris, Jalix Hunt? Do you rely more on who you already have at that pass rushing position, or do you kind of ask more out of your linebackers? Like, how are you game planning this as a defensive coordinator, in particular in a game like the Ravens?
Well, listen, I don't think that you know, if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm not changing what I do. You know, obviously his playbook is expanding because, you know, the players are picking up what he's asking of them. And, you know, he's getting more comfortable with them. They're getting more comfortable with him. And they're playing with a lot more confidence. So the playbook can expand. But I don't think you have to do anything different because you don't have BG at your disposal. You know, listen, Brandon was, you know, I call him Benjamin Button, the way he's been playing in year 15. And he was having a hell of a game last week before he goes down. But the Eagles, in my opinion, and it's no slight to Brandon or anybody else, they still don't have a premier pass rusher. You know, so it's not like, you know, you're going to find somebody to replace, you know, great production. I think you lost leadership and you lost good production, but I don't think the issue is they still don't have a premier pass rusher, a guy that you know, the teams look at and they fear. So I don't think the game plan changes. You know, I think the elements are always going to be the same. You get the run under control, pick your spots where you're able to come after Lamar, and force the issue and hope that you can keep him in the pocket and you can tackle him within the pocket. And then, you know, let your young guys on the back end do what they've done extremely well, is, you know, cover great in man-to-man and in zone concepts. You just hope that, you know, they're seeing the ball and they can come downhill and make tackles.
And just one more for you here, Seth, to circle back to the games from yesterday, that Lions-Bears game, the end of that game for the Bears, one of the worst mismanagements of the clock we've ever seen. Just your thoughts on the way that happens, and have you ever seen anything worse than what Matt Eberflus and the Bears did yesterday?
No, I mean, it's been one conundrum after another for Matt Eberflus down the stretch. And, you know, like, I'm not one to call for somebody's job, but I'd be surprised, you know, by next week if he's still the Bears head coach. But I just, in that situation, the head coach has to make the call to call the timeout. You know, I've been seeing people talk about it on social media and whatnot. Oh, the quarterback has, you got a rookie quarterback. Help your quarterback out in that situation. You have an opportunity to win the football game. Use the timeout. And you got at least two more shots before you have to, like, make a major decision. But help him out and make the call, you know. And the way he addressed it, you know, in the way he addressed it in his press conference is just, you know, it's surprising. It's everything that you would expect. The last three games that they've blown and the way he's addressed it in his press conference is everything you would expect for a coach, you know, is kind of lost grip of the reality of what's going on. But I was blown away by what I saw. To not have had a plan for that, you know, when you call the first down, why not bring your quarterback, you know, to the sideline and kind of have a conversation about how you want to do things? You do have your in his ear right up until the last 15 seconds in the clock. So you got time to talk to him and tell him what you want to have done. But as the head coach, go over and call the timeout. I mean, you cost your own football team, you know, three games this year, and that's on head coaching. That has nothing to do with a young rookie quarterback. That's all on head coaching.
Seth, last thing from me here, and then we'll let you go, is Tom and I, we have debated this week leading up to this Ravens game who the better trio is between the Eagles and Ravens, meaning quarterback, running back, coach, obviously for, you know, the Eagles, Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Nick Sirianni for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and John Harbaugh. If you had to pick, which trio would you rather have either this year and over the next 5 years? Because the two of us, we could really use a real football guy's opinion.
Oh, see, you're just trying to draw me into y'all's crazy. listen, at the end of the day, I think it's you have to go a little bit further than that and pull in the Eagles' best wide receiver and the Ravens' best wide receiver, whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver. I think when you throw A.J. Brown into the mix, I think you clearly have your answer because they don't have anything like that on their side of the ball. They've got some tight ends that are, you know, that are a handful. They've got some speed at the wide receiver, but they don't have a whole lot of consistency there. You know, I'm taking, you know, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and A.J. Brown all day long. Because I think, you know, I think we're minimizing it. If you're just going to do those three, then you obviously, you know, the head coach and the way that Lamar is playing right now, Saquon kind of levels out the running back position, but the way that Lamar Jackson is playing right now and what they're asking him to do, I want to make this clear. A lot of what they're asking Jalen Hurts to do is why his numbers look so pedestrian and there's so much conversation about him, you know, potentially being the weak link for this football team if it comes to him having a pass. Understand, they're only asking him to throw the ball on average 21 times a game over the last seven games. He's completing 16 of those, okay, for right around 180, 190 yards at almost 11 yards per clip. So now add 10 more to that and tell me what that looks like. But people don't want to see it that way because, you know, this team has turned into a run-first team and turned into a throwback team. And you know, they're not asking him to do a whole lot. They're not asking him to do that because he can't do it. That's false. Because all you got to do is go back in time, and you can remember seeing Jalen Hurts being able to throw the ball when asked to throw it and be able to use his legs to do some of the things that Lamar Jackson is asked to do. But within the framework of what they've asked him to do as they've had to try to bring this offense along, and Saquon's become the focal point in the offensive line, they've asked Jalen to do less. But the time will come before this season is over where he will have to step forward, and there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to do it. But if I'm taking a trio and adding a wide receiver, I'm taking Nick Sirianni, I'm taking Jalen Hurts, I'm taking Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown all day long.
Well, there you go. And that receiver definitely does make a huge difference. But Seth Joyner joining us on this Black Friday. Seth, really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, take it easy. That's Seth Joyner.